Welcome to The Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646 or online at thedealmakershow.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Got a great show lined up for you today. We have Darius Chase with South State Bank in studio with us. I've worked with Darius for a number of years. We're going to talk about all things creative solutions in the mortgage marketplace today. Darius, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Doing well, Brandon. Of course, that's always a pleasure with you. Thanks for having me here today. And hopefully we can come up with some great solutions for our clients to help them.
Yeah, definitely. So look forward to kind of getting into some of those details, some of the more of the kind of the niche type stuff as far as, you know, finding creative solutions to help people get into a home. Would love to kind of start with your background, you know, how you got into the business. Obviously, you're a very successful guy, vice president. And I've worked with it for a number of years. I know how you operate, and you've kind of seen you kind of rise through the banking ranks. And so that's a testament to know to your work ethic and to kind of how you conduct yourself. So kind of give us some background on who Darius Chase is, you know, how you got into banking, and we'll kind of start it off that way.
Well, thank you. I mean, for the kind comments. I went to school here at UNC Charlotte, majored in finance. Outside of school, started directly with Wells Fargo on the consumer side. So consumer finance, had an office here that I worked at, you know, off Eastway Boulevard for a number of years. And then they transferred me up to the Maryland area for about 2 years. Came back to the Carolinas, wife and I. It's just hard to leave Charlotte once you're here. So we came back.
Yeah.
And got back into underwriting. You know, ran a small underwriting team for Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Which was good for me, you know, being on the sales side so many years, getting on the other side of the table or other side of the file. So I did that for about 2 or 3 years and got away from that because it's much fun on the sales side.
Definitely.
but since then, I got into banking, retail banking, commercial, and private banking. And so our time together that we've known and worked together, it's been on the retail consumer side and now South State Bank, doing the same thing, private banking with a mix of commercial as well as consumer.
Cool. So kind of break that down for us on like what, you know, those three different areas look like and what you kind of do on a daily basis with some of your clients.
Right. It varies. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, so every day is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So a lot of it can be just your routine retail banking. Someone needs a loan to do some improvements on their home, some financing to buy a house, or it could be a business owner looking to grow their business, operating lines of credit, find some space, finally kind of hang their own shingle. Or someone that we worked with for years, you know, as their family has grown, we've taken on more parts of their relationship and helped them kind of navigate through the finances and life cycles of that.
Excellent. So you've kind of like run the gamut of what you've kind of done within the banking and mortgage industries on the operations side, you know, underwriting and on the back end where clients really don't, you know who's involved.
Right.
So you've done that piece. You've done the sales piece, continue to do the sales piece now. So what has, you know, been your key to success kind of going through the different phases and continuing to rise and kind of, you know, end up where you are now?
I would say the key is just really, you know, being I've done so many things, you know, within a financing space, finding what I enjoy most. And that's actually been being close to our client.
You know,
so I find being on a sales side, that day-to-day interaction really keeps me going. Because no situations alike, no clients alike. So it keeps me sharp. You know, I have to be aware of current offerings as well as competitors.
Right.
But also situations that our clients may have financially and personally.
Yeah.
So I would say being in front of a client is the best part of my day.
Fantastic. Yeah, I feel the same way. And so, you know, in the sales world, I think that's kind of what we feed off of is, you know, the different challenges and you know, every day we face something different and finding solutions to help, you know, the clients that we work for. I think the catch 22 is though, if you're not good at what you do, if you're not an expert on, you know, the products and programs that you have available, you know, if you're not, you know, in tune with the marketplace, if you're not keeping up, you know, with the market, that challenging piece to it can become kind of a nightmare for you. And then, of course, obviously becomes a very frustrating process for the client.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, testament to you for, you know, everything that you do to make yourself an expert. Obviously, we teach that and have that on the radio show every week.
Right.
You know, talking about, you know, do not work with someone who who you just found online, and too many things can go wrong. But so what is it? What has promoted that within you? Obviously, you love the challenge of the sales and being that, you know, quote unquote savior for your clients. But what is it, you know, within you that's kind of allowed you to get to that place? And
it's been, I mean, I think common minds, you know, think alike.
Yeah.
And I've had great partners, internal and external. And I say partners, friends, you know, that they trust me, you know, and I trust them. I mean, every client that we work with together, you've always done a great job setting expectations, you know, and team me up for that client. And I think that shows within our work, our communication along with the client. So the partners I've had have helped made me look good, you know, and I appreciate the trust they've had and yours as well.
Yeah. And another thing we talk a lot about on the show is, you know, making sure that, you know, you're surrounded by a great team of people who really have your best interest at heart. If you're, you know, in the market looking to buy or sell a house, or, you know, you're a business owner looking to finance, you know, a business or get a loan or anything like that, you always, I think priority number one is finding a team who works together, because rarely is it ever, if you need something, is it one person who's going to help you out,
right?
Especially in the home buying marketplace, you're not just dealing with one person. You're going to be dealing with a team, you know, appraisers, inspectors, mm-hmm. bankers, lenders, real estate agents. And if, you know, if you're not working with a team, it may not go very well for you.
Right. And I think the key there is, you know, one thing that we've always done is introduce the team we are up front.
Right.
You know, so there's a number of resources within that team.
Yeah.
And we all have our specialties or things that we lead within that team. As long as our client knows who to talk to or call us to find, so we can quarterback that part of the relationship, I think it makes gives them peace of mind in a transaction. It makes things a lot more seamless.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I obviously spend a lot of time, you know, trying to build out my team. And obviously you've been an integral part of my team for, I don't know, what, 5-6 years now?
Yeah.
If not longer. And so I hate telling the client no.
Right.
You know, so I get a lot of calls with, hey, can you do this? So sometimes it's no, but I've got the guy who can get it done for you. Or I'm doing a mortgage for a self-employed person who's maybe looking to do, you know, something in the banking world. All I do is mortgages,
mm-hmm.
and I like it that way. It really keeps me focused and allows me to provide great service to people who are looking to buy or sell a house. But they come to me with these questions, and so having a team, you know, and obviously you're part of that, Darius, that I can refer out to,
mm-hmm.
makes a big difference. Helps my clients, helps me, helps you, and I think it's really just kind of building a network of, again, you know, people who really, you know, care about doing a great job at helping out clients.
That's it. And I would say at the center of that always is the client, and ultimately what are they trying to achieve. And there's a number of ways to do that, you know, whether that's a mortgage, whether that's a home equity line of credit, whether that's just a conventional loan. It's just us to communicate, you know, together, and of course circle ourselves around that client and find the right solution for what they're looking to accomplish.
Without a doubt. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate, talking creative solutions with Darius Chase. So kind of lay the background there, Darius, just kind of get into some of these creative solutions. Yep. So, you know, I do get these calls a lot of times, and you're a huge outlet for me. And so let's talk about bridge loans.
Okay.
For a bit. Kind of describe, you know, what a bridge loan is, you know, how it's used, why it's used, because I get this question all the time, quite often. Twice this week already.
Yeah.
So kind of lay that foundation for us.
Yeah. A bridge loan, I mean, literally in the sense of the word, is a loan that you use to bridge your next home purchase. So it's a way to leverage equity that you currently have in your property to put towards a down payment.
So you own a home currently.
Yes.
You got some equity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you got some equity, and whether the house may be listed for sale this time, it's taking a bit longer than expected. You want to make an offer on a next home without a contingency. So you say, hey, let's go ahead and pull some equity out of the house that you have listed for sale. Bridge loan itself, our terms are usually about 12 to 18 months.
Okay.
This way the buyer can go ahead, buy the new home, then they'll have some peace of mind to sell their home, you know, make adjustments to the sales price if needed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The payments on bridge loans, it usually, and with us, they're interest only, you know, so it's manageable. So you're not
very helpful to, you know,
yes.
So an interest only, obviously you're not paying principal, but it's a very short-term loan to mm-hmm. just get this next property while you're working to sell your current property. So it's kind of a win-win.
Correct, because we know at that time they're going to have multiple mortgages.
Right.
You know, so we want to keep the payment and their cash flow as liquid as possible.
Yeah.
So it's a small monthly payment. You can pay as much as you like whenever they choose to, but ultimately when that home sells, that loan pays off. And the equity they then had is transferred to the new property completely.
Nice.
So we could do those whether the house is listed or going to be soon listed for sale.
Yeah.
And it's a great tool, especially in a market like this with low inventory, where every offer is pretty competitive.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard recently that a lot of people are just going completely away from accepting contingent offers.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously a bridge loan is a big deal. I've got a young lady who's going through a divorce.
Right.
And so they're selling their home in Greenville, South Carolina, moving to Fort Mill. She is. And we're going to be hooking them up with a bridge loan because she wants to go ahead and buy. She's getting a job transfer, going through, you know, some of the personal issues, you know, through a divorce and you know, handing out assets and that type of thing. So a lot of the cash is not liquid, but they have, you know, a good amount of equity in their current home. So perfect situation for them.
Yeah, and what we'll do with a bridge loan is we'll appraise the property that's listed for sale or going to be listed for sale. This way, you know, our client has a sense of comfort of what they will get for that home.
Right.
And we leave a cushion of at least 20%.
Okay.
So we finance it at 80%. This way, any cost expenses involved with the sale of that home can be absorbed within that equity that's still there.
Yeah. Any costs associated with getting a bridge loan? I think it's fairly inexpensive, but like, what does that look like?
It would be a standard cost and appraisal. Today's market can be anywhere from $450 to $600, depending on the square footage of the home.
Right.
And then a closing attorney. You know, again, in this market, can be anywhere from $400 up to $900, depending on you know who preferred vendor is.
Yeah.
But I would say that those are your two main expenses. We're very unique with our bridge loan product. We don't have an origination cost. There's some in the market that do.
Yeah.
And, of course, if that were the case, you would add that 0.5% or 1% into the cost of doing the loan.
Right.
But those are your main costs
with doing a bridge loan. Yeah, so really just paying for the valuation of the property to see, hey, how much can we give you?
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, an attorney has to be involved to close any real estate transaction
like that. Yeah, and perfect a lien. I mean, so... Those are, I mean, and start to finish, I mean, I would say it takes about, you know, 3.5 to 4 weeks to do.
Yeah. And another thing, too, that kind of goes along with the bridge loans that you help us do for our clients is, so with my company, we do a recast, too. So if you've got, so we can recast your mortgage payment after you purchase. So let's say, you know, you get a situation where we get your bridge loan so you can put 10% down or 5%, whatever it may be, and then you sell your house. Obviously, you have more equity that you're now going to maybe put down to the new purchase, which you've already bought. Say you're going to put, you know, 20. Now you bought it with 5% down, but now you've got, you know, $30,000 more that you can put into your mortgage for the new purchase. We'll actually recast that payment for you. So we'll drop the principal balance once you pay that $30,000 or $20,000, whatever I said it was, and we'll re-amortize that payment for you. So if you're worried about buying a new property now and maybe having a higher payment because you don't have the equity from all the equity from your current home, that's no problem. We can recast the payment and hook it up that way as well, which is a cool feature.
That's fantastic. I mean, so essentially you're saving on the cost of refinancing that property.
Right,
that's a new mortgage balance.
Yeah. No refinance cost. There's a slight fee to do it, a couple hundred bucks. But of course you're dropping your payment probably by a couple hundred bucks, maybe a month. So it's a great deal, and we service all the loans that we do. So you never have to worry about if you might not be able to recast or recast, we do it for all of our clients. So it's a great deal.
That sounds
right along with the bridge loans that you help us out with.
Yes. Yes, it's a great product. And another product that we use, I mean, and that you and I partner with quite often, so we talked about bridge loans a little, are just home equity lines of credit. And they can be used for a number of ways.
Yeah.
So home equity line of credit, I mean, similarly, can be used to make a home purchase. You know,
right.
Use the equity that's in a house.
We have can be used as a bridge loan almost.
Yes. Yep. Yes. You know, and use the question is always, what's the intent of the property? If the intent is to sell a property, mm-hmm. once a new home is bought, then a bridge loan is the best fit. If they plan on possibly keeping that property or not moving in right away, then maybe a home equity line is ideal to go ahead and make the home purchase as well as any improvements and renovations and stay at home as opposed to having to move,
right.
you know, multiple times.
Right. What's the kind of the scenario? Because I get that a lot. I get that question a lot. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Brandon Kohlberg here, host, 704-999-6646. Call us anytime during or after the show. Again, 704-999-6646. We got Darius Chase with South State Bank talking about creative solutions to get into a home. So I do get the question a lot with HELOCs. Hey, can I get a HELOC right after I close on the property that I'm buying to do some renovations and repairs? Kind of talk about like the guidelines for that and what's doable, what's not doable, then we'll kind of like talk about HELOCs in general. But let's start with, you know, purchasing a home and mm-hmm. then getting a HELOC for maybe some needed repairs.
That's a great question. It's a common question I get as well. And it's something that we can do the day after.
Yeah,
at South State Bank. We don't have necessarily a seasoning requirement.
That so says one day after they buy the house.
Right. And yeah. one thing that's unique about us is we can use the appraised value one day after, which you'll find
that
a lot.
That's a great deal. Let me stop you right there. So yeah. So in the mortgage world, you know, for our listeners at home, most, if not all lenders, you know, have what's called a seasoning requirement. And so if you buy the house for $100,000, but it's worth $200,000, well, typically you can't access that equity for 12 months.
It is 12 months, yeah.
Easy. So you're going to allow them to go off the appraisal value one day after closing.
Yes.
That's strong.
Yeah. So so we can do one day after closing, and it's a product that we use this product quite a bit for that, mm-hmm. especially in that same scenario, buying a home with a ton of equity in it.
Yeah.
Likely need some improvements, some updates that you want to make in
Definitely.
Prior to moving in. So we had the ability to do it right after they make the home purchase. And again, it takes. If a mortgage is done, let's just say it was financed,
right?
We can use that appraisal that was completed for the initial purchase for up to 12 months as well. So that actually reduces our costs,
right?
And it makes a quicker close for our clients.
Nice. So what other type of, you know, basically the same type of costs involved in the, like a bridge loan? Basically, you're just paying for the attorney,
right?
And paying for the appraisal if one is not available.
Yeah. And in most cases, if there's a mortgage that's a part of the transaction, a first
right.
mortgage, there's going to be an appraisal that's involved. So we can essentially remove that cost. So the costs go down and also the time to close goes down.
Yeah. So I know primary residence is way good. Is there any difference between, you know, a primary residence or a second home or investment property for what you do with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So primary residence, of course, you live there. You know, that's we eat dinner every day.
Right.
Secondary residence, we follow kind of federal guidelines on that, ideally 50 miles from the primary residence. Of course, unless it's at located waterfront or preferred location.
Yeah.
Other than a primary. Unfortunately, we cannot do home equity lines for investment homes or rental properties.
Gotcha.
We just primary and secondary homes only.
Okay.
But the key distinction between a primary and secondary home as far as a home equity line will be the loan to value, which means the amount that we can lend in relation to the appraised value of the home. We can go up to 85 on a case by case up to 90% for a primary residence.
Yeah.
We're capped at 80% for a secondary residence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. What about, do you do anything with, with a line of credit that can maybe, like if you've got a client, they buy a house for, let's say, $200,000, it's worth, let's say, you know, $220,000, but they're going to be doing a lot of renovations, and after their renovations, it's going to be $300,000. Do you do any HELOCs that are based on kind of the future value of after repairs?
That's a great question. And at this time, we only do it based on as-is value.
Got
so
it.
We can't do a line subject to the completed value.
Right.
We get that quite a bit. I mean, and that's more of a renovation loan than it would be a home equity line of credit.
Right.
But yeah, we'd have to go off the value as is.
Okay.
Cool. But that doesn't mean that once the property is complete or renovation is complete, that we cannot go back and then revisit or increase that line to a newer value.
Right. So the client would basically have two options: get a renovation loan, which we can do, or maybe they find ways to creatively finance it. Maybe they're using credit cards or a personal loan, something like that, to get those repairs done. And then once they're done, you know, if they wanted a line of credit to pay all that stuff off, you can hook it up.
That's it. Yeah, and when we find lines of debt consolidation is a big reason we do lines of credit. And a lot of times in that same circumstance where, you know, there were some improvements involved and a cost associated with those were personally, levered. And then we can go back and go ahead and secure that debt at a much lower rate and better terms than you would get on an unsecured line of credit.
Excellent. Cool. So, again, you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. And we'd love for you to give us a follow on Instagram at Carolina's Mortgage. Got Darius Chase in studio with us talking about creative solutions, hitting up bridge loans, lines of credit, home equity lines of credit. If you got questions or have any good stories for us, be sure to give us a call. So you mentioned debt consolidations, Darius, and that's something that, you know, we tag team a lot on and have over the years for, you know, just making a loan approvable, or maybe someone's got a lower credit score just because they have a lot of debt. And if they knocked out, you know, some credit card bills, their score would be maximized and be a high credit score, get a better deal on the first mortgage. Lots of reasons where we kind of partner together on debt consolidations. Kind of give us, you know, the rundown of what you do in that realm, and we'll kind of talk, maybe share some stories there too that we've had.
Sure. And again, it's a common scenario, and a lot of times that, as you just mentioned, it's the credit score that's affected. So it's either the credit score or debt to income ratio.
Yeah.
The credit score, I mean, one of the biggest factors when we see a derogatory or a lower score is revolving balances in relation to limits being too high,
right?
As well as too many accounts.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about, like, you know, what makes up a credit score, mm-hmm. and revolving debt or credit card debt is really a minimum of 35% of your credit score. When you factor in age of the accounts, it's actually a little bit more. But so if you've got a $1,000 credit limit and a $1,000 balance, well, you've got a 100% utilization ratio, that's actually going to really negatively affect your credit score. If you have, let's say, five credit cards, they're all maxed out, and you have a 100% clean credit history, your credit score is probably going to be about 650. If you paid those off or paid them down, or maybe got a debt consolidation loan with Darius to pay those credit cards off, your credit score could jump to a 750. That is a huge deal when you're getting a mortgage when it comes to rates, down payment, mortgage insurance, if it's attached to the loan. But keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you hit a great point there, the cost of funds, you know, credit score, the higher the score, the lower the cost of funds, especially in a rising rate environment that we're in.
Right.
You know, so everything's going up. Home prices are going up. Rates are going up. You want to be best positioned score-wise to get the best price and best cost.
Without a doubt.
For your loan. But the other thing that debt consolidation does is it helps with the debt-to-income ratio.
Yeah.
And for us, our ideal debt-to-income ratio for a number of loans tends to be between 40 and 43% of their gross income.
Right.
So if we have a client that may have, you know, a number of revolving cards and it's just estimate the balances cumulative or $10,000 in their monthly payments on that or $700 a month.
Right.
If we can get them into one loan for $10,000 with a payment amortized over, say, five years, we can possibly reduce that monthly expense anywhere from $300 to $400 a month, making them more eligible to qualify for a mortgage, but also putting them financially in a better position on a month-to-month and yearly interest cost basis.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, one of our biggest concerns when we, you know, take an application for a mortgage any one of our clients is making sure that we don't just give them mortgage, but that we actually help them financially, give them the right tools and resources and knowledge and information to really succeed financially. There's just so much out there. And, you know, if you look across the landscape, you know, we are a debt nation and we want to help our clients, you know, get in the best, you know, financial place possible to where they're, you know, on an upward hill climb of succeeding financially.
Sure.
And so part of that is doing things like this because, yeah, we've got a client right now who's, you know, literally got $1,100 a month in debt payments. And so we're looking at, they have a house now, they're looking to sell and buy. They've recently had some growth in their family, a couple kids. Now they need to kind of move up. But they've got all these debt payments. So, hey, well, how do we structure this and how do we maybe help you out and get in a better financial position? So we can actually do a debt consolidation. You can do a debt consolidation loan for these clients and get their payment down to about 500. So saving about 600 bucks a month, and they're going to pay it off, you know, much faster because, you know, they're making minimum payments. You know, who knows when that gets paid off, you know, with you know, a 25% interest rate, which is insane. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to, you know, shave 600 bucks off and have them pay it off a lot faster. So we actively look for ways to, you know, how do we help our clients succeed financially? And you're obviously, it's a big part of that. So we thank you.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So, yeah, and again, all types of different, you know, creative solutions that we partner together on to really help clients, you know, get approved for home. But not just that, because we don't want to put them in a bad spot, but we never do that. So you're always providing good solutions that's beneficial for a new mortgage approval and, you know, helping them succeed financially.
Yeah. And to your point, sometimes it's not right away. You know, sometimes it's a matter of doing those things, consolidating debts, you know, being purposeful with the extra cash, putting it away or paying down other debts to say, hey, 6 months or 12 months from now, you're better positioned from a credit score perspective, from a savings down payment, and financially,
yeah,
you know, to make a larger commitment.
Yeah, I was talking with the clients that we're working on now just the other day, and I'd get my coaching hat on for a second. And I said, now, listen, guys, you didn't get into debt overnight, but you're going to be paying off this debt almost overnight. It's going to be easy. And so it's probably going to be easy to get back into debt.
Right.
So we talked about that and making sure, you know, taking the necessary steps to make sure they don't get in the same spot after getting a debt consolidation loan, because that would be not beneficial down the road if they just got the debt consolidation loan, freed up credit cards, and went and spend it again.
Yeah, correct.
So we're gonna give you some hard truths. We're gonna give you the tools and resources to help you succeed financially, but we're also gonna give you some hard truths about spending behavior and making sure that you're doing the right things financially.
Correct. I mean, debt in itself is a result of lack of savings.
Right.
And having the funds put away.
Yep.
Or sometimes you have an unfortunate event. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually need to go on a debt just to get through.
Right.
And that's life. Yeah. But also, how do we get those balances paid down, get back on track?
Right.
And try to prepare, you know, again, in the event something like that comes up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. How do we go from, you know, short-term thinking and doing what feels good to long-term thinking and preparing for the future? Kind of a little bit of Dave Ramsey philosophy there. But, you know, it really is about behavior. I think we all pretty much have kind of a good sense of knowledge of what to do, what not to do. You know, if you make, you know, minimum wage, you know, $7 an hour, don't go buy a car that's $500 a month. Probably you should know that, but people still do that. So it's not the knowledge necessarily, but it's the behavior.
Yeah. And when usually those decisions are confronted when it's time to make a huge commitment, buy a home. Or just life itself, whether that's growing your family, starting a family.
Yeah.
You find yourself at the crossroads for some past bad decisions that I think we've all made at some point.
Right. If you need to find out if you're making good or bad decisions, be sure to call us 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We got Darius Chase in studio with us again. Call us during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So lots of different reasons and why we would kind of, you know, help clients or, you know, provide options for debt consolidations for clients, mortgage approvals, lowering their debt ratio, getting them on a better track financially. Any other reasons that we didn't touch on just there, Darius?
Yeah, I mean, I would say one of my biggest sources of referrals are from financial advisors.
Yeah.
And it's them putting a line in place for emergency peace of mind. In the event mm-hmm. something does happen, the market's doing great, you don't want to liquidate, you know, take on a loss or have to claim a gain.
Right.
You know, if we have some cash available for short-term use.
I think that's a great point, because I think a lot of people's default is, if I have an emergency, I have a credit card. And sure, what we want our clients to say is, if I have an emergency, I've got a big savings account.
Right.
But we deal, you know, in reality. Mm-hmm. And so I think what is going to be more realistic is, if I have an emergency, I have a line of credit. That is a lot safer play than a credit card, or at least, you know, financially, because interest rates, you know, things are changing a little bit on the tax deductions.
Right.
If a line of credit is tax deductible or not, consult your CPA or just call us. We'll hook you up with a great CPA who will save you some money, because we are all about building a financial team to help you out. But I think the default would be, you know, if the savings is not there, you know, do I have a line of credit to help in those situations?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say most of a good bit of the lines of credit that we set up are just for that, just for peace of mind.
Yeah.
In the event something comes up, we work with a lot of families, growing families that have needs not today, but in the future.
Sure.
So whether that's the cost of education, you know, for college, whether that's the cost.
College is cheap these days. Oh, my goodness.
The cost of high school, elementary school, you know, depending on, you know, where the kids are going.
Right.
But it's good to have something that you can use at a very low cost, have access to at any point. The convenience part of it is a big part for our clients, being able to tap in and know they have a resource available without having to liquidate savings.
Right.
Or to go ahead and sell stocks to get access to cash. So we do quite a bit of business in helping our clients do just that, just being more comfortable, knowing financially they got a good footing in the event, just to embrace any kind of changes life may bring.
Definitely. One of the areas I've actually used this myself, and of course you did it for me, kind of the same scenario. So I had purchased a car. I did put, you know, a good bit of money down, but instead of getting a car loan, I actually just put about half of it with uh-huh. you know through my line of credit, because my goal was I'm going to eventually pay it off, you know, fairly quickly, but in the meantime I want very small payments. And then of course I didn't get hit with some finance charges and stuff like that, where I would have, if I just went through, you know, a car lot or something.
Right.
So I was able to keep my monthly payments very small until I was ready to pay it off, you know, a year later. So there's things like that where if you're very strategic about it and you, again, have a goal in mind and think long term, you know, you can really kind of come up with some really good financial, you know, moves.
Yeah. I mean, and I think one of the big ones is a line of credit in place to make improvements to your home.
Right.
You know, if you're buying a home and not building one, I'm pretty sure there's a room or two that you think of you could, like, do something differently with.
Definitely.
Or sometimes all the rooms.
Right.
You know, but a line of credit can allow you to do that and do it at the pace you like to. So
right.
The big difference between a home equity line of credit and a home equity loan, let's just say you said, Darius, I need to get, you know, $50,000 because I want to do these two or three rooms within my house. No matter the pace that you use those funds, whether you're going to use all $50,000 right away or use right. 10 within the next 6 months, you're going to pay for that full 50 30 days from now.
Right.
You know, with a line of credit, you use it as you need it. So you draw on it as you make the purchases, you buy your equipment, you pay your contractor as the work gets completed, and then whatever's not used stays available to you. But also, when that project is done and you pay it off, those funds are available to you again.
Right. Great point. And so you can, let's say, you know, have a $250,000 house, you owe $150,000. You can go get, let's just say, a $50,000 line of credit. but not have any balance on it. And so you're not paying any money. If you need it, then a payment comes around to whatever you owe, not the $50,000. Maybe you just take $10,000. Mm-hmm. Well, you're only paying on the $10,000, not the $50,000. So that is a great point to bring, you know, to mind.
And this is very relevant if you have a client that's looking to possibly sell their home.
Right.
And make a purchase in the future. One of the things I think is common is you'll find before you list it, these three or four things need to be done.
Definitely.
Well, a line of credit can help you and help that conversation with your realtor.
Yep.
As far as what needs to be done and what cost, the cost to do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to you having to pull money from your savings, funds that you likely have to put towards your new home purchase. You can use that line of credit for. To knock those out and get the home ready to be listed, staged appropriately.
It's a great point. And I, you know, had a line of credit with you prior to the sale of my house earlier this year. And I was a case in point. You know, I had a line of credit. I, you know, got my home inspection. I actually had a good amount of repairs that that we ended up settling on for about close to $20,000. And thankfully, I didn't have to just pay cash with that. I obviously, you know, selling the house and I was going to be getting some cash,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, didn't, you know, want to use it right then and there. So I had this line of credit that you set me up with to draw from. So knocked out the repairs, sold the house, got it all back. So, you know, win-win. So there's all kinds of situations where, you know, having that in place is great peace of mind and can become a great tool, you know, if needed.
Right.
So be sure if you need to be set up with a line of credit, you got some equity, just want that peace of mind, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Got Darius Chase giving all the creative solutions today. So another situation where we get like super creative, Darius, that you've been a big part of is maybe we've got a husband and wife buying a house. Maybe just the wife is on the loan. Maybe the husband, for whatever reason, is not on the loan. But the wife maybe doesn't completely qualify based on the debt ratio just by herself. Maybe they've got a car that's his car, but it's in her name. Kind of give us some stories of what we've kind of done there to maybe make that deal happen.
Oh yeah, very common scenario. Very common where, you know, you have one borrower that's your income producer, and there may be some joint debt that we can carve out to make room or improve a debt ratio position for that one borrower. So we can, you know, take a joint debt, make it individual, then mm-hmm. essentially removing it from your primary borrower's debt to income ratio, make them qualifying easier.
Right.
A similar scenario to that is very commonly business owners, when they first start their businesses, they tend to finance their growth themselves.
Right.
You know,
company's not going to, you know, finance a new business debt in a new business name because there's no established history.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to put it on them personally.
Right. So they'll take on their growth personally and add to their personal debt. It's all in good faith because it's going towards the growth of the business.
Right.
However, when it comes to qualifying that individual for a home purchase,
it's going to penalize you.
It's going to penalize them because now we're showing a number of cards or a number of accounts that are business related but aligned to the borrower's social security number.
Right.
One thing that's unique about what we can do at SouthState is that we can work with both on a personal and consumer side, our clients, but also on a business side. And carve out some of that debt and put it in a business name. Now that's established, and we have a history, you know, of 2 years returns.
Right.
So this wouldn't personally carrying that debt anymore. They still may guarantee the debt, but it's not going to show up on a personal balance sheet.
Right. So basically, I'm starting a business. I'm super excited. I'm going to, you know, take on, you know, a couple hundred grand in debt. It's all going in my personal name, not the business name, but I run my business, you know, well for a couple years. It's still in my personal name. It's not in my business name. But all this debt that is being paid for by my business, not me personally, is affecting me from being able to qualify for, you know, what should be a real easy home purchase. So you're able to step in, transfer all that personal debt, you know, because you're a personal banker. You deal with commercial, you know, personal private banking as well. Mm-hmm. So you're able to establish that relationship with the client, move all that personal debt over into the business name. Now they're good to go.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things you usually see in that scenario. You see an immediate lift, of course, in the ratios because
Absolutely.
They have
yeah.
less expenses on a monthly basis, but also the credit scores.
Probably going to boost that up too.
Correct, because yeah. as we spoke about earlier, one of the biggest, I guess, hindrances to a great credit score can be the number of revolving accounts or balances in relation to limits. So if we can get those limits paid off, removed from their personal credit score, we usually see an increase.
Yeah.
Or an immediate lift in our score as a result of doing it.
So win.
Yes, that's how we like it.
Better deal on the first mortgage, probably maybe some better terms moving that personal debt into the business name too, right?
Well, the CPAs will be happy. I'm sure whoever's doing taxes are now they're happy that deals are now segregated.
So
yes.
maybe save some more on taxes and all kinds of different benefits probably to that. Again, consult your CPA. If you don't have one, give us a call, 704-999-6646. But yeah, just a plethora, if you will, of benefits.
Yes, I'd agree.
Awesome. What else do you focus on, you know, for your client base that we haven't really touched on today?
Yeah, I would say as a commercial lender, you know, we do owner-occupied building purchase, so realtors, commercial realtors, we work with them.
Yeah.
Operating lines of credit, we get a lot of business owners looking to grow their businesses. We help finance their growth and sometimes restructure their debt, like we just mentioned a second ago. Within a private bank at South State, we have a huge focus on healthcare finance and transitional finance. What I mean by that is any medical practitioners, dentists, veterinarians, we do financing for their practice, whether they're buying a new practice, mm-hmm. whether they're looking to transition, sell theirs, or buy into another practice.
Yeah.
We do equipment finance for them, as well as general banking, all ancillary products needed to make their business go.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I love working with business owners. And obviously, you know, we tag team a lot, you know, with business owners. But I've always kind of seen myself as a business owner. I've ran plenty of businesses, over the past 15 years. I think you kind of look at yourself as a business owner
right.
too. You know, we're in sales, and it's kind of like we only eat what we sell, you know, type mm-hmm. of thing. So it was very, very entrepreneurial minded, very business owner minded. So I've always really enjoyed working with those types of clients. Is that kind of like your bread and butter too, or you know?
Yeah, our ideal client. Now, we'd love to work with everyone,
sure.
you know. But if we can find a business owner, then help them in every possible way. What I mean by that is that may be their operating account for their business. Mm-hmm. There may be some financing, some equipment. They may be buying them some space to operate in that business in, as well as on a personal side. You know, if they're looking to, you know, get some improvements done to their home, if they need some education savings. If they want to start planning long term, you know, for retirement and possibly to sell of their business or transition of it, we can assist them with that as well.
Nice.
So the life cycle of a business owner from the very start to the twilight when they're ready to sell and go retire
right.
to the beach, we want to help them do that.
If I was ready to retire and go to the beach right now, what could you do for me?
I can get you with a great partner of mine. He sits not too far, Duck Smith. He can help you out.
that sounds nice, especially with the weather out today, man. It's nice. But it's been a hot summer. It would have been nice to spend some of that at the beach.
Yeah, but you know, it gets warmer there too.
As long as the water's cold. Awesome. If you are a business owner and need any of the options that Darius just discussed, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We're giving you all the options for creative solutions to get you into a home and just help you succeed financially. If you're a business owner, lots of tools and resources we've got here with Darius Chase, South State Bank. Darius talked about, you know, business owners and helping people from the private banking side, commercial banking side. Anything we haven't kind of touched? We talked about bridge loans. Oh, we haven't talked about lot loans. You do some lot loans for us too. What?
We sure do.
Kind of give us a quick rundown on that. I've got a lot of clients who want to buy a piece of property and then maybe hold it for a little while and build a home. Obviously, down here in the Clover area, Rock Hill mm-hmm. area, still some great land to buy and appreciate values are appreciating. A lot of people want to go buy some land right now and kind of hold it for a few years mm-hmm. and then maybe build their house. What do you offer there?
So we got two options when it comes to lot loans. And if someone's looking to buy and they want a lot loan and they plan on building that home within, say, the next 12 to 18 months,
yeah.
we can do a traditional lot loan. With those, you look for around 25 to 30% down. We can also use a line of credit, a home equity line of credit, on their current residence to get some cash to
back
make
to
that
ELOCs.
Purchase. Yeah. So yeah. there's a number of ways. Depends on ultimately what's the horizon for building. If we have a client that's looking to build within next 12 to 18 months, we can go ahead and do a traditional lot loan financing for them, usually set up with a 15-year payment. If they're looking to buy that piece of land and hold it for a while and make that their primary residence long term, we can do it through a home equity line of credit, which is going to give them a lower monthly payment.
Nice.
But also the ability to pay more if they choose to.
So bottom line is we've got options.
We do them. How about all yeah, right. we do them.
Excellent, man. Fantastic. So what would you say on a grand scheme? You know, I love to talk about, you know, what kind of makes people successful and kind of doing whatever I can to kind of teach and coach that. What would be your biggest, you know, kind of giveaway, you know, for someone in the industry, you know, rising up through the banking? You've kind of done all the operational side, the sales side. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some success tips and what kind of, you know, your top three would be.
I'd say number one is do as much as you can for as many people as you can.
Love it.
And I think because it's genuine when you start with someone else in mind. Second is,
dude, you can stop at number one. Like that says it all. I mean, we talk a lot about that on the show. You know, like if you care enough, that's it, man. You know, I mean, care for your clients, and you'll always get whatever you kind of want out of it. It's not from a selfish standpoint. It's from a genuine, you know, caring for our clients. And, you know, we go to great lengths to make sure they have a phenomenal experience. You know, we do all kinds of things. You know what we do. And I know what you do. So, it's very genuine. And it seems to be like that always comes up on every Saturday morning on the radio show. It comes down to I partner with people who genuinely care for the client. So to hear you say that with this unrehearsed, love it, man. You can go to number two, but I want to highlight number one again.
If I can't get any higher, I'll stop there. If I can't do any better than that, I'll stop.
Sounds good. So but number two.
Number two, I just always try your best. You know, I always try my best every day. And that gives me the peace of mind that knowing that I could go to sleep at night, whether I accomplished what I was looking to do or as long as I did my best to help my client, help my partners. There's a piece of, calmness that comes with that at the end of the day.
Another great point, like how do you get to that point? Because, you know, there's so many people who would mouth those words. I don't back it up. Like what is the differentiating factor between, I want to do my best, but actually doing my best. And, you know, we've worked together for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years now. I can tell you, you know, Darius gives you his best every day. What's the difference there? Like, what enables you to actually give your best and not just say, hey, I want to give my best?
I always try to, you know, finish everything I can that day, but then I start tomorrow what I didn't finish.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really following through and just trying to be as, I think it's transparent. I mean, and setting, you know, the right expectations.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to try my best to do this. We may face some headwinds because of this. It may take a little more time because of this, but also being open about where we're at throughout the process.
So managing expectations, really mm-hmm. putting a game plan together and just executing the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And I would say third, I mean, I bring I bring my all to every relationship that I have.
Yeah.
So, I want to know about my clients all, my partners all. So that means I want to know about you. I want to know about your family.
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys enjoy to do? And then if fortunate enough, I love to get to know my clients and my partners' family and let them meet mine.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, we're all working for the same thing, and that's our families.
Absolutely. I think that gets missed a lot. I don't think anybody out there intentionally sets out to do a bad job or to cause harm to another one. But if you're not focused on improving yourself and becoming an expert in your craft, that's what happens. You know, you end up causing people harm because you don't know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think obviously you do that, and that's a big part of it. So and that's really what I try to focus on, is really improving myself and knowing my stuff. So when the difficult situation arises, when the solution needs to be very creative,
mm-hmm.
I understand that, and I know what's out there. I, you know, we work together to come up with these creative solutions for our clients. But I think that's what kind of separates the expert professional from, you know, just someone who's taking up space.
Well, all right, now hold on. Let's change the tables here. How about you give us your one? What's your one? I'm not gonna make it do three. So
my one tip for success.
One thing, yeah.
It's one thing. Let me break it down into three parts. I think if you want to be great at anything, you got to study, number one, practice, number two, and teach, number three. So if I want to improve any area of my life, I want to go study it. I want to learn who's doing what works, what doesn't, and that's the practice. So I want to study, then I want to go to practice it. Okay, what works for me? And when I find what works for me, after studying, you know, different people, different systems, different philosophies, whatever it may be, I want to begin practicing it, figure out what works for me and what helps the people that I associate with, and then I want to teach it. So I would say my success tip would be study, practice, teach. And that's not me. I got that from my mentor, Jim Rohn, but it's been incredibly valuable for me in my life to think about it in those terms. Where do I want to improve? Where do I need to improve?
Right.
Because I think that's a big piece of it too, being very self-aware. Self-awareness is just really, really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever I want to improve, wherever I need to improve, I got to look in the mirror, find that out. But then I want to study, then I want to practice, then I want to teach.
Right.
And so that's it for me.
Now, my goal is to have as many of my own clients, you know, listen to this as possible. So if you don't mind, share what you do. I know we talked a lot about what we do as far as home bridge loans, lines of credit, but share what you do, if you don't mind.
From what perspective?
From mortgage, everything you do.
Yeah, I've always really honed in for the last 4 years on developing and making the client experience my number one priority.
Okay.
And so when someone comes to me, hey, I'm buying a house, you know, my agent told me to give you a call. I think 99% of the time they make that call to a lender. That lender is, you know, going to give them a mortgage,
mm-hmm.
and probably, you know, get them to the closing table.
Right.
That's just not my goal. My goal is to partner with a team of financial advisor, CPA, banker, my client concierge, whose only job is to make sure that they have a phenomenal experience. So we'll help them set up utilities. We'll help them with moving administration services. We do all these different things. We send gifts. I hate to give away some of my thunder.
Yes.
But I would say it's I would tell you from my team perspective, we're a customer service team that does mortgages. And so my number one priority is to make sure that the client has a phenomenal experience, that they don't just get a mortgage, that we teach them, we give them tools and resources to succeed financially, we hook them up with the right people,
right.
And we provide a level of service that just goes way beyond getting a mortgage.
That's great.
So that's what we do. And that's what we set out to do 4 years ago, and I think we're executing on that pretty well. So it's very system-based. I think one of the things in sales that where salespeople fail is just kind of winging a prayer. Mm-hmm. If you're just winging it, you're not going to help as many people as you possibly could. So everything that we do is very system based. And if you have a system and a platform, things aren't going to fall through the cracks. You're going to help clients, and you're going to give them that great experience.
Right.
So if that's you, if you're out there listening, you want a great experience, if you need a personal banker, if you need creative solutions, be sure to call us. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. You can call us after the show, 704-999-6646. Darius, you've been awesome. Thanks so much for the great info. We appreciate you being here.
Oh, so it's a pleasure, Brandon. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. We'll catch you next Saturday, 9 a.m. Have a great weekend and a great Labor Day weekend. Enjoy the time off. Take care.
You've been listening to Brandon Kohlberg, the Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tega K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit him online at thedealmakershow.com. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for The Dealmaker here on 100.1 FM WRHI.